Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day.
Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Paperback Bromance. As always, my name is Matt. I am here with David and Phoebe. Welcome back, guys.
And aren't you our new best friend?
I am your new best friend.
There you go.
I'm everyone's
don't
new
ever,
best
don't
friend.
Don't ever forget that, man.
I never forget that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the listener.
You know what's fun, though, is get to feel new and shiny every time he says that.
Isn't it fun when that happens? Yeah, it makes you feel all warm and tingly inside, like I'm just filling you up with my romance.
Yeah.
Or the bromance.
Or the bromance.
As it is. Speaking of bromance, we are reading today the horrible, horrible
We're going
Danielle Steele novel, Resurrection. I am sorry, this book can only be related to by the upper echelon of society, the assholes running... I don't know. Do any of you guys own a chain of department stores?
I really read this at the worst time for the working man. If you have any conscience or are conscientious to what's going on in our society right now, it's
the only person I could see reading this book is someone who had their assistant go and grab them a book at Hudson News while they're sitting in the first class lounge waiting for their first class seat in their hot towel.
First class lounge, you say? You mean like the Delta special room?
Like, yeah, the Commodore's suite.
I always felt like I hope they gave you handies in there. You know, like
they probably do give handies in there, but you know, in your private room, I go to the USO lounge and I get like some crackers and like a cold hot dog.
Yeah. Ooh, is there peanut butter in between the crackers?
Sometimes.
Oh,
that's some
if
bullshit,
the other guys haven't licked it all out, you know, sometimes there's cheese, but it's not real cheese, you know.
Dude, who are we with today?
Who are we with today?
Yeah.
We're here with Phoebe and
that's
David.
Me.
Yeah. I thought we've already talked about
it. No, we didn't do that.
No. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Because we're here with Phoebe, who...
I didn't get to read the steamy. There's no steamy, guys. Yeah,
there's no steamy.
So flaccid.
This is a limp dick of a book.
This is almost rage bait of a show.
This is very rage bait.
Right
Look,
now.
I barely read it, and the part that I did read was painful. I think I read 25 pages. I almost threw it.
He did.
I think I'm going to set it on fire.
I did throw it.
David and I watched you throw it.
Yep. I'm
it happened.
Going to light it on fire if no one wants to keep it. Because like I am that over it. It's got a picture of the Eiffel Tower on the front, which is
so fucking
which is super nice if you can afford to go to France. On the back, we've got a picture of Danielle Steele standing in her own mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it says a billion copies of her novels sold. Everybody loves Danielle Steele.
Wait,
not me.
Of this copy of
just
this book,
all of her
of
books in
book?
General.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Because I was going to question.
Yeah, no, so. This book is not.
Mama Neva was a big fan of Danielle Steele back in the day.
Yeah, she just.
Did anybody really like Fabio? I don't know.
Did he write
Fabio
novels?
Fabio was just the artist. He
was
wasn't actually. Like, not the artist.
No,
he was the model.
He was like the model. But like she had to read all of the Fabio books.
I met
like,
Fabio, actually.
What?
I met him in California at a Whole Foods.
Stop.
Whoa.
Okay.
Oh, what?
I shook his hand. He is a big man.
Is he still gorgeous?
You're a big man. And you're telling me that Fabio is a big man?
He's a couple inches, few inches taller than me.
What? No
Dude,
way.
You're 6'5".
Yeah. I know.
Whoa.
He is big. He's got long, flowing, golden Viking hair.
Which he hasn't lost.
He's still muscly.
No, it's
and he was trying to sell some skincare routine, and I almost bought it. Because look at him.
Luckily enough, you recognize the fact that you're either covered in tattoos or hair.
Yeah.
And it was probably snake oil because Fabio himself was selling it in a Whole Foods in Ventura, California.
Dear. Oh, my word.
So probably not great.
We digress.
We do, but we need to because this book is so terrible. I don't even want to talk about it.
My word. So this is definitely the most modern romance that I have ever read because it takes place in 2004. And for all of our listeners, as always, this show
starts in 2004.
It starts in 2004.
Okay.
And as always, the show is full of spoilers. If you want to actually read this book,
you don't.
Hit the old pause button, read it, then hit play, and we can take this journey together.
Don't. Just so, let me rant about it, and then you'll be satisfied.
Taking place in 2024, the story follows Darcy Gray, a renowned influencer with her blog, The Gray Zone. She reviews and promotes products, fashion, and health advice to more than 1 million followers, which we hope to get to at this point within our second month.
We're at like 100 and something I think we can get there.
Blasting up the charts. Mm-hmm. So she only uses products that she strongly believes in because she's a good person.
I respect that. I do the same.
She is married to a retail mogul by the name of Charles Gray, who owns several very chic, high fashion stores that are wildly successful. So we're talking this is where the
Nordstrom type stuff.
Yes. This is where
higher end.
This is where the Kardashians and the Hilton shop. You know, it's hot. Right.
A lot of their stuff is bought from China, but then they get a bunch of fancy leathers and things from Paris and Rome.
True story. So yeah, they have a lot of Chinese investors. We'll get to that later in the synopsis. They have two daughters, twins, Penny and Zoe. Now, fraternal twins, both currently in college and studying abroad. Old Chuck there has been spending a lot of time traveling for his business, especially to Italy, Rome in particular.
Where he likes to cheat on his wife.
Oh,
yes. He's
dropping
a dick.
The spoilers immediately.
Don't spoil it for me.
So Darcy is feeling a little empty nest syndrome. Girls are out. Husband is constantly traveling. And she's like, my romance is not romancing where it should be romanced anymore. So Charles flies to Rome for biz, as usual. And Darcy's like, yo, I'm going to surprise him and be all sexy before I head to Paris and hang out with my daughter for Paris Fashion Week because, you know, 1%er.
Man.
But the surprise, it doesn't go as planned.
Oh, no.
Betrayed and outraged, Darcy flees to Paris early to find comfort with her daughter, only to be confined by a second global pandemic.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, Matt, dude, she's bringing up our worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Which is COVID part two.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
And
at least they have that nice Southampton home that they can hide out in.
They don't go to the Southampton home. They're in Europe.
Oh,
they can't get to the Southampton home.
So they get to hang out in a luxury suite in Rome.
We're thinking so. So it's them. This brings us to our first segment. It's Matt Splains the character, who is supposedly Darcy, we're assuming.
Well, there's kind of two characters here. There is Darcy, but there's also old Chuck, as you referred to him as. Chucky Gray.
Chucky and Darcy Gray.
The first character we're introduced to is Darcy. And she grew up with an affluent family, went to Princeton. Her family was very notable in the publishing and printing industry, and they wanted her to follow in their footsteps. She did go to Princeton. Her parents had her late in their marriage. They were old, for lack of a better term. And of course, they wanted a son. They wanted a son to follow in her father's footsteps, but they got her.
Yeah, they got Darcy.
She did go to Princeton, and she did major in literature, but she wanted nothing to do with that old world paper printing bullshit.
Cold, frigid bedroom.
She saw...
I'm trying to bring some spice into this.
It's just not much there.
It's like the black pepper of fucking hot sauce.
She saw the value in the internet. which her parents, of course, did not understand because they were about 60 when they had her. So they had no idea what the internet was.
Oh, can you imagine being raised at 10 by a 70-year-old?
No. No, just... I'd rather not. I would take a hard pass on that.
It's like, it's not even Disney would touch that with a 10-foot ball.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. She meets old Charlie, and they get married and immediately get pregnant with twins on their honeymoon.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Charlie, he's not a two-buck Chuck. He is literally a two-buck Chuck.
Charlie comes from money of his own,
mm-hmm.
and he has older parents who don't understand his love of business and fashion. They want him to do something completely different.
Want to be like a doctor or some shit?
Yeah, no,
like
the banker. A banker.
It was some they want him to go into nepo banking. Fucking baby shit.
Yeah, just take over the bank and do that. No, he doesn't want to do that. He loves fashion. I'm surprised he didn't turn out gay, to be honest. The way this book was going, that's where I saw. I'm just saying, gay guys love fashion. I don't mean it as a bad thing. It's... So I'm not good at fashion.
So do dads later in life start to appreciate fashion.
Yeah. That's
all right. We're not going to cut that.
You're a stepdad now. So, and I know, I feel like you're appreciating fashion more than you did before.
I appreciate weird fashion. Brooke actually told me that I am the gayest straight guy that she's ever met.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I took that as a compliment. I am not ashamed of that.
Good for her. Anyway,
I mean, she grew up in Maine, so it's not really saying much.
It's a low bar, dude.
It is a low bar. But I'll take it. I'll take that.
Yep.
So yeah, he's into fashion. He wants to own department stores, retail stores. His family doesn't get that. Her family doesn't get her. They see the good in each other and what potentially can be there.
So it's not even more that he's into fashion. It's more that he's into the business aspect of retail things using fashion.
Well, he's also into fashion. He goes using to fashion week every year.
Yeah, because you got to keep up with the trends and everything. So it's more he's using fashion as his medium because he's more infatuated with retail. Anyway.
Sure. Either way, that's what happens. And then all of a sudden, still in the first chapter, we flash forward like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden.
Okay.
And the girls, their twins, are going to college.
Yep.
They both went to Boston University, pretty prestigious school.
Ew.
Not Princeton. But no, it's still a nice job, nice school to go to. You can get some good credentials
some
out of there.
Big chops.
I used to smoke weed right outside of BU, actually.
Yeah, I think I have also smoked weed out of BU. It wasn't on the regular
basis. You
could
say I went to BU. I lived like across the street and I would just hang out on their quad and smoke weed out of Coca-Cola cans.
No, I know a guy that lived in Somerville. So we decided to do a 30 rack tour of Boston where we had a 30 rack in a backpack and a bunch of blunts and shit.
That's a much longer commute than I had.
Yeah. It was a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the cardio was insane. I'm like, is this because we have a 30 rack ice house? He's like, yeah, honestly.
I just ran across the street, right across Comm Ave with a backpack full of 40s and some Seagram 7.
These Seagrams.
Of course, man. Yeah.
Naturally.
Seagram 7. Yeah, and Steel Reserves.
Oh, my word. Yeah, no, I was straight. We were straight Ice House.
Oh, Ice House. Yeah, that's a better way to go.
Ice House.
Yeah, my buddy used to buy Steel Reserve in the plastic bottle, which was even worse somehow.
7%? Oh, good Lord.
Especially warm and shaken up in a backpack.
No. Oh, on a warm summer Boston evening.
We digress, boy.
Okay, we're digressing.
It's important. Anyway, I'm trying to set the stage for Zoe and Penny and their college experience.
You probably hung out with them, I'm sure.
I'm sure I knew them.
So yeah. Where were we? Where were we?
So they are both going to school abroad, Penny in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Okay.
And already learned Mandarin and Cantonese. Oh. Zoe is in Paris going to school for fashion.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so that's most of the characters right off the bat. Those are the heavy hitters.
Yeah, that's the first section, yeah.
Yeah.
First, okay.
Yeah, I can dig into where they end with.
No, we're only really supposed to be focusing on Darcy, and based on the last chapter and the first chapter, I think
Darcy, kind of nailed it. I don't get all the way into Darcy. Darcy is your typical, what you would know now as an internet mother influencer who knows everything.
True story.
As we know.
Would you call her a MILF, though?
I wouldn't.
No, because we haven't actually seen her.
Haven't seen her.
Okay.
We're assuming she's attractive because it's a romance novel. novel.
She's a know-it-all mother running a blog from her toilet.
Oh.
I'm assuming it's a toilet. That's how I picture it. That's how most of them do it.
You know, I can imagine her starting,
I mean,
writing out the
while
blog
her babies are crying. During, she's like, oh, God.
I'm going to go take care of this BM first.
But she's on the toilet on Tumblr just running her mouth. And people are like, I like what she has
this
to say.
This is 2024. Tumblr is dead.
When you're a mom and you have
but we started
twins,
in 2004.
That's the no. only place you got.
This takes place in 2024.
But it started in 2004 when she was 29 or something. Yes.
With the oh yeah.
Yes.
That's true. Was it Tumblr?
Tumblr was the thing. Tumblr was the blog.
But was that what was mentioned in the book?
It wasn't mentioned. I mean, she was using Instagram and other blog sites. Maybe she had her own website. I don't know.
I figured
I just picture it as Tumblr.
She was just doing a random blog on some
random blog website.
Like Vine.
Sure.
Or,
and Phoebe, I know what you were saying, that as the toilet time is the only
you
time
know,
you have.
When you have little kids.
Until they learn how to open
just
doors.
You have to lock yourself in the bathroom and you just have to shout at them when they're knocking at the door. Are you bleeding or are you dying?
Right, because I need to finish what I'm doing right now.
I'm,
and it's just going to take another minute.
And if you're raising boys, the answer is always yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm blasting this water on my
no,
cooch.
No, I
it's
feel
just
like raising
one
boys, it's like, did it get really quiet? Why is it so quiet?
Yeah.
Me. I gotta go.
Yeah.
And then you run out and then everything's fine and it's very confusing. I know Carla would get this.
Well, Darcy had a very rich husband and she came from money as well. So I'm sure there was a nanny around.
I know
somewhere.
There was more nannies than
I'm
we
just
probably,
saying
yeah.
from a, you know.
Sure. Your perspective, I
my
understand
perspective.
And I respect the plight.
Matt, was it an easy pregnancy? Or was it?
No, it wasn't.
I can't imagine with
twins.
That's
no.
twins,
yeah. A lot of bed rests. And
a lot of bed rests. Yeah, she had to not work. And Charlie was happy to have her not work after having the babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, she just took to the internet and started telling other people how to live their lives. And that's very nice when you're in the upper echelon and you can do that.
And that's pretty much all that. We really learn about.
Yeah, she just endorses brands that people send her free stuff. Yeah. And she says, all right, yeah, I like this free stuff you sent me. I'm going to tell people to buy it.
Or this is awful. I'm going to enjoy this free stuff and tell you how awful it is.
Yeah, so that's mostly what we know about Darcy. And Charlie, he's a hardworking businessman.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, he seems like an involved father and husband, but we come to find out that's not exactly the case.
I mean, as far as me reading this book goes, it was, dude, this was hard. This was a hard book to get through. The characters are so unbelievably unrelatable. They're
I can't stand any of them. I only read two chapters.
A bunch of bored rich people that create problems for themselves.
I read 25 pages and I hate them.
Yeah. And as for the main character, Darcy, I mean, Danielle Steele portrays her as a driven, successful, and intelligent woman.
Steele.
Danielle. What did I say?
Daniel. You keep saying Daniel.
It's okay. It's fine. It's Danielle.
Danielle Steele.
Danielle Steele. Yeah, she's terrible. I hate her for this.
So portrays her as a driven, successful, intelligent woman who seems to kind of wake up one day and realize that the one thing she's missing in her life is a little bit of romance. And being able to work from whatever she wants, as she's an influential blogger, she decides to take life by the
balls.
Yeah.
Well, her husband
reignite that flame in her marriage.
Never
you know?
Home. He's 2 days a week, he's playing squash with his racquetball buddies.
Oh.
1 day a week, he's in the Hamptons playing tennis with his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's not doing that, he's traveling to Hong Kong, Rome, Paris. He's going everywhere. Vienna, I don't know.
So she flies
Milan.
So she flies to Rome.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, I'm this powerful woman. That's what Danielle Steele is like. This is the post-pandemic, pre-future pandemic that we know about that they don't know about.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going to take life by the hojos and I'm going to bring this romance and this spark.
I'm going to go grab my husband by the dick and we're going to rock this penthouse.
Right.
So what happens
taking
next
her marriage back.
Is
got
a
it.
Little triggering. So Darcy heads to Paris. She heads to Rome and is confronted with the ultimate betrayal, and then we're triggered yet again when she's just like, well, I'm gonna flee from this situation that I'm finding myself in. I'm going to go spend time with my lovely daughter, Zoe, and second pandemic hits.
Oh.
Boom. They're all stuck.
Yeah, she makes, it's like C22-XYZ. I can't remember. It was so that not worth remembering.
Dreadful.
So now she's stuck in Paris at an exclusive Airbnb.
It was very exclusive.
Very exclusive.
Fancy. Like,
it's for rich people.
All inclusive.
Yeah.
It's like staying at Sandals Jamaica by yourself.
Yeah. With your own private chef and all that jazz. So she ends up...
And he gets COVID shots twice a day.
They end up closing that, and she's got to move to this even more exclusive B&B with a retired movie star, where she meets a mysterious man with some type of government job.
Is that Bill?
That's Bill.
That's Bill. That's it's not Bill. Some type of government job.
We don't know what type of government job yet.
Well, I do.
You a little bit. Yeah, you do.
I do now.
So she lives through the pandemic, suffering a little more or less heartache, but comes out a stronger woman.
But she comes out full with of a better idea after hanging out with Bill.
Of what she wants out of life, and we're supposed to kind of take a moral lesson from how this pandemic was handled. It's just
from this woman who has been handed everything in her life, and just
talk
tripping
about
over cash.
Written by AI, my word.
I wonder if that's what happened. Danielle Steele is going to have us canceled before we even get off the ground.
Bro.
I swear if she hears this.
So sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Bring the lawsuit.
I didn't.
Bring the lawsuit. Go for it, man.
We're not slanderous. We are telling the truth.
Yeah.
Right here. It's only slander if we're lying, and this book is garbage.
Yeah, just based on the characters. So if we want to take a brief pause.
We can take a brief pause for a minute.
And then Matt is going to mansplain the plot.
Oh, I love that. It's our favorite part.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. It's me, your boy, Matt. You know, here at Paperback Bromance, we like to drink boxed wine, a.k.a. smut juice, while we're recording. But when I'm looking for a break from alcohol, I love to go to Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. They've got the citrus social tonic that will get you up and ready for any occasion. There's the strawberry bliss that's great for chilling out on the couch and watching a movie, reading a book, or watching your favorite sports team. Of course, at night, there's the blueberry nightcap. I drink one every night, and I sleep like a baby. Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day. And we're back.
Ready, guys? It's time for Matt Splains the Book.
I'm ready.
All right, this is the whole thing. This is a book about a bunch of rich assholes. Like, seriously, Darcy and Charlie, they grow up rich and entitled and one percenters. They go to fancy rich schools that one percenters go to, and they meet each other. They've got old parents that want them to do things their way, which
old cold parents.
Old like, cold parents.
Manufacture their own romance and like passion in their lives.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just like, you need to do this to survive.
But their parents are just like, hey, you got to do my thing. Do what we did. Do what we want to do. And they're just like, you're fucking old. I don't want to do that. Or have you heard of the internet? No? All right. Well, too bad. I'm going to do internet stuff. And that's Or I don't want to be a banker. I want to own retail stores. And that's essentially what they do. Mm-hmm. And then they go and get married. And then they get knocked up with twins, right?
Do you think it was intentional?
No, probably not. But they probably just weren't wrapping it. And boom, oops, twins. Have fun with that. Flash forward.
I think that's the next coffee mug.
Yeah.
Boom, twins.
No, you're just not wrapping it.
You're just not wrapping it.
Boom, twins.
We'll get there.
I'm writing this down, guys.
We'll get there.
I really hope someone's writing this down.
I'm writing it down.
Someone has to.
I have to read all these fucking books, so.
I mean, we're also recording this, so we can look back and figure out what's going on. I'm sure we won't forget.
Okay.
Someone will remind us.
What else do you think?
If you remind us that we need to make a mug, then you'll get a free one. Anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Next up, they've got twin girls, and they're going to college now.
Okay.
They're going to college, and they're doing their own thing. One of them's taken after.
By doing
her own artwork out in, well, trying to do some fashion stuff in Paris, and yeah, not really taking after the family business. Penny, the oldest, by 7 minutes, she wants to follow in dad's footsteps and take over the family business of
yeah, become partners first.
Or get a high ranking position. It's nice to be if you able to have that handed to you, right?
If you want to go for a high end purse, you go to Gray's.
You go to Gray's. Yeah, they're made of the finest Italian leathers in sweatshops in China.
Oh, those fine Italians. Man, we're going to get to them.
We will get to them. Now, somewhere along the line, Charlie just, he's traveling. He's traveling a lot. He's on the road. He's
doing his thing.
He's in Europe. He's in the Indonesian areas. He's checking out his sweatshops. He's going to China. And then he's just banging broads left and right. Banging broads. And Darcy, she tries to surprise him out in Rome, and she catches him banging abroad. Nice Italian woman. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Not good. She wants to have a romantic getaway with her husband.
And what does it turn into?
Someone else is having a romantic getaway with her husband. Where are you going?
Nowhere.
And she tries to hang out with her daughter, who, guess what, takes her dad's side.
Oh, no.
Yep. What? Yep, because she wants to be in the fashion industry. She wants to go to Fashion Week with her dad and his model girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
Yep, so they're doing that.
Oh, this is okay.
Oh, dear. Yep,
keep going.
Yeah, all right.
Yep, keep going.
Yeah, so they're up for that. They get stuck in pandemic number two, which is, it's fictional. We had COVID-19 in this book. Now we've got COVID-76 or whatever is happening. I don't know. BXJ.
It's like 11. CC22 or something.
It's something. It's not worth noticing.
Okay.
Anyway, now they're all stuck in Europe together.
Yeah, they are.
So now they're shanghaied
amongst this family turmoil of infidelity and divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not telling the kids, because that always works out so well.
You can't tell the kids, even though they're 19, 20 years old. Yeah, they're old enough to fucking see it with their own eyes, but they're not paying attention because they're just looking at daddy's wallet and his connections. So they're just like, I'm not going to ruffle any feathers.
Right.
I need to cash that check. So we keep going. We keep going. And Darcy meets a nice CIA agent named Bill. While they're locked up. Yeah, Bill.
Okay.
Quintessential CIA agent name.
Yeah.
She starts humping him.
You would think FBI.
You would think. No. See, well, he's in Europe, so FBI stays stateside. CIA, they're out in Europe trying to assassinate the queen. Tell you that. Whichever.
We don't. Okay.
Whichever. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
The queen of the day. Whoever's being
the queen of the day.
I love that Metallica song.
Yeah, queen of the day. That's it. So they're working on that, and then he gets quarantined in the all-inclusive sandals resort with them.
Oh, dear.
You know, there's like eight of them in this whole, they're like, let's get rid of all the poor people that are on vacation. Let's just send them to internment camps, and we just want this whole resort to ourselves. And that's what they do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So Darcy starts banging Bill, and that ensues. Bill and the Vivi or Vivine, I don't know. I don't remember. Some Italian broad. She's a model. Yeah, they're
Flavia.
Flavia, that's it. Yeah. And they have close enough. No, come on, man. And then they have
Vivi?
There's a V and an E and an I. I had most of the letters right.
Yeah, you had three of them.
Yeah.
Great. That's more than half.
Okay.
Good.
Well, let's just move on.
We'll just move past it. And then they have a boy named Umpfer or something.
Umberto.
Umberto. Yeah, even better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Umberto. Mm-hmm. And they get married, and they go on their honeymoon. Well, he's 4 years, 4 months old. Sorry, 4 months old. And Darcy and Bill go back to the United States, where Bill starts some kind of private investigating firm, and they live happy-ish. Ever after, I don't know. It's very weird.
Okay.
It's very weird. And the girls spend Christmas with their dad, and
which they didn't want to.
And Flavio,
it's oh man.
And Umberto,
the half brother.
Yeah, the half brother. But, you know, they need their dad's influence because the oldest Penny, oldest by 7 minutes, again, I'll say, she wants to work in dad's stores.
Yeah.
And then Zoe, 7 minutes younger, she wants to be a fashionista.
Right.
So they need dad's connections.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And mother is just an Instagram mom blogger. I mean, she's a very successful one, but.
Yeah, she is. She's one, she has over a million followers.
But she's still just a mom boggler.
Leads me to.
Starts off with one of the people I hate the most, which is mom bogglers.
Yeah.
We go into rich people, and then
word! It's like this shit was written for the 1%.
Complaining about how hard they had it.
And don't get me wrong.
My employees through the pandemic. It was so hard for me to stay in my house in the Hamptons.
Right. and death in the family is nothing to scoff at.
I lived in a garage during the pandemic.
But if you're going to be...
It's true.
If you're going to be to the point where you're detrimental to the health advice of the CDC and whatnot, then yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Yeah.
So...
I think we can all agree I was pretty spot on, but David's going to tell us where
word,
I was wrong.
Again, nail on the head, dude. So
this is proof that you do not need to read the whole book. I got through high school for a reason. Okay. I read the back of the book. I read, you know, part of the beginning and then the end. And that's really all you need.
As I've shown you a couple times now that no, not quite.
I got it. Yes. I got it.
So,
no trains in this one.
As I've mentioned before, I did not like this book. The characters are unrelatable. And
I
the
couldn't
story
deal with
felt,
reading just one chapter. I
the
almost
story
threw it out.
Felt so manufactured. Like it really was either AI written or Danielle Steele has a...
She's got a pile of ghostwriters.
Series of punch cards and ghostwriters where I don't know if you've ever seen.
This was made in a sweatshop. This book was made in a sweatshop. It very well could have been. Much like Charlie Gray's clothing.
Oh my word, it very well could have been. So we go through the history of both Darcy and Charlie, like Matt went through, where it's like these cold households, very conservative. There's no romance. And then they meet each other and it's like it's fiery and it's passionate. Until they have these twins, and the pregnancy is so difficult that they kind of drift apart.
Right. I'm sure the pregnancy took everything out of her, especially if it was hard.
Yes.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then she couldn't really recover from that.
Right.
And Charlie
he couldn't support her through it.
Not if you're not there.
Well,
you know,
that's a him problem.
You know, this is before the era of text messages and such, Matt. So if you're away over in Italy, it costs you X, Y, and Z to send a message of, you know, encouragement to be like, yeah, you got this, girl.
I believe they did have email back then.
Yes, but then you actually have to check the email.
And also he had the money to pay for satellite text messages.
I love that you keep trying to justify this, Scooby. It's so great.
No, I'm trying to say that he had the opportunity.
Yes.
If anyone did, it was him. If you can afford to be traveling to Italy, you can afford to be texting via satellite phone.
And I'm sure in the beginning that he absolutely
did. He was just a dick and he didn't care.
Not until he felt the spark die. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where our story really kind of picks up is that Darcy has felt unromantic for at least 2 years, but it's been longer.
Right.
And she is ready to reignite that spark because her girls are off on their own journeys to become the people that they're going to be, you know, studying abroad. And she has endless amounts of fucking money that she can, you know, make sure that she gives to her girls and all that jazz and support any travel plans. And, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm gone from my villa for 2 months because I have all this money, yada, yada, yada.
Must be nice.
Okay. All through blogging.
Okay.
Like it was all, she's just
That's
an influencer. Telling
Much
moms,
to the chagrin of her parents.
Yeah. You know, essentially telling moms what products they should and shouldn't buy based on her own personal experience. So we can give her that much. So she decides to surprise Charlie, which we've gone over with Matt in Italy. Like, hey, I'm going to spark this spark. We're going to get this flame raging again. I want it to go from the watery yellow orange of a grill to that actual blue hot flame of a propane flame.
Fire it up. Let's, right. Baby, let's go.
And ramp shows up. And the hotel that Charlie has rented is not a suite. It's really kind of just average.
Okay.
There's an unopened suitcase. She's like, oh, well, maybe he's away on business. I'll just stay here the night. Meanwhile, we cut to Charlie. And he is in Rome, absolutely, with, surprise, his very pregnant, much younger girlfriend, Flavia. He has been seeing for over 2 years at this point.
Been a while.
Yeah.
Been going on for a bit.
No. We get to read through Chuck's thoughts justifying his actions, like his marriage is dead. Flavia is so full of life, and she has the same type of family that he's always wanted but never had. And she's in the same industry that he's in, so that world. She can, yeah, same world. So everything about them is so similar.
So
great for them.
So as Darcy is flying to Rome, Charlie is being the absolute worst husband, but best boyfriend. We hear about a new virus vaguely through the news, you know, while we're, you know, listening to these folks.
Right.
And it's very similar to COVID, but not as bad, you know, not too bad. Darcy arrives in Rome and goes to Charlie's hotel, like I said. And, you know, it's like, this is fucking weird. Like, normally he stays in the suite, but there's this unpacked suitcase in this, like,
just a regular hotel room that us normal people would
hotel
stay
room
in.
Like, oh, there's basic cable.
What? Excuse me.
What is he doing?
Weird, right?
Where's the butler?
Yes.
Right? Well, no, not really, because he's staying at Flavia's fancy villa, eating with her family and their fancy villa, having hot Italian pregnant sex.
Yeah.
I assume that's what they're doing.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like mentioned, but not really confirmed. All the while, said family is telling Charlie he needs to divorce Darcy and really get on board with Flavia.
Yeah.
So the following day, Charlie is stopping by the hotel to grab some documents that he's kept in this
suitcase
for uptown amount of months. We have no idea. But now he's suddenly, they're so pertinent to the story that he needs them
very
right now.
Right.
He's got them right now.
Opens the door, and who should he see?
His wife.
His wife.
But Darcy's sitting there waiting for him. And instead of coming clean, this jackass makes up an excuse that he was in Austria for some elusive business deal and, you know, is so downtrodden and butthurt that he has to cancel his fun weekend with Flavia to spend with his wife.
I mean, I've been there, and sometimes you get pulled off to Austria for exclusive business. No, but I did spend 3 months in Germany. Does that count?
No, I've been to Germany. It's a fun place.
Well, I was in a hospital.
Oh, right, with the sleeping
sickness.
No, I was high on weed and listening to techno.
That sounds much better.
The following morning, right, so he has to, like, sleep. He has to, quote-unquote, sleep with his wife. Believe me, there is nothing steamy or sexy about this.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phoebe.
It's okay.
It's just very, very performative and just like, well, I guess. Okay.
So, of course, Charlie finally probably gets some actual rest because he's not having Italian marathon sex.
Right.
And gets to sleep in a little bit, but realizes that he overslept for a very important appointment.
Uh-oh.
Like, super important. Super important.
Like an appointment with his baby mama's baby?
That could be exactly what the appointment was. Because it was the initial sonogram
with
baby mama.
So now he's pissed off his wife and his baby mama.
Well,
no.
Darcy still has no idea.
Because she just got mediocre missionary sex and she's fine with it.
Oh, you think there was sex? That's funny. No, there was no sex.
There was no sex.
Like a soft
HJ
or what, Scott?
No, there was just some...
Just some light kissing and snuggles.
Really nice sleeping. Everybody was well rested.
Really? That sounds, everyone was really
very romantic.
I don't even think there was snoring.
Oh.
Right? Like, you know, you have to give the subtle shake, like, honey, you're snoring. No, that wasn't there.
No.
So in his haste to get to the appointment on time, he leaves his Italian phone.
Uh-oh. The second phone.
Which, of course, has no password.
That was the demise of Walter White.
No password.
Well,
So, you know, Darcy picks up the phone and looks at it and is like, look.
What are all these naked, pregnant Italian chick pictures going on in here?
No. He just sees a simple message that says, don't be late for the sonogram appointment.
Oh.
And lists the address of the said appointment. So, yeah.
So now she knows where she's going.
Yep. So Darcy goes to the doctor's office to confront Charlie and to see who this woman that he's been, that she's been left for. Right.
This is my cousin. You've just never met her. I'm helping.
We find out that Charlie,
she doesn't speak any English.
It's very obvious that they're not cousins, not even first cousins or kissing cousins. Just, you know, the former business buddies that are now bang buddies.
They're just banging. Yeah.
We find out that Charlie and Flavia are going to have a boy and they're all happy and lovey-dovey until they walk out and lo and behold, there's Darcy.
Oh.
And then in the most anticlimactic scene I can ever demonstrate, Charlie and Darcy just kind of go for a walk and be like, yeah, this is how things are now.
Man.
Just like, yeah, okay, and bye.
It's like, yeah, this is, you know, our marriage was dead and blah, blah. She's like, yeah.
Yep.
I guess it was.
And then they shake hands and walk in different directions.
I don't even, maybe they even like fist bumped. I don't even know.
Just bump it. Do you want to have a thumb war for the kids?
Oh, dear.
So, you know, Darcy, you know, she kind of tucks her tail. She's got a little bit of rage, but she's hiding it really well.
She makes out well in the divorce, though.
She's going to go and head out to, well, we haven't gotten to the divorce yet. She's going to go like,
no, not yet.
She's like, I'm going to go and see my daughter Zoe in Paris. Okay.
That goes equally as well.
Oh, man, dude. Because she's, this entire story, she refuses to tell her daughters anything.
Oh, damn.
She's like, it's his story to tell.
Uh-huh.
So
well, he's the asshole.
We have to go through this entire fucking second pandemic lockdown with waiting for the girls to confront Charlie.
Oh, damn.
It's just, it's so ridiculous.
I've been there.
So after arriving in Paris, checking into her fave exclusive little hotel, Zoe meeting her beau, Jean-Paul, a med student. You know, so she met Zoe's beau, Jean-Paul, was a med, med student, 5 years her senior because like daughter, like mother.
Well, we begin. You know, she meets him and he's becoming a fancy doctor man at the medical school.
He's like 5 years older than her. And like, I mean, she's 19.
She's 19. Yeah. And he's in med school.
Age. Yeah. And he's 26. So even older. But, you know, love has no age.
Apparently.
But love does have a.
Well, I mean, her parents had a maturity level. Significant age gap and her grandparents had a significant
and
age
it was,
gap.
And
as
look
well,
how well that ended up. So it's super good. It's just history super repeating good. Itself, man. In this fucking book, it's ridiculous.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it's learned
behavior.
Neither
am I. Neither am I. And I'm not admonishing it either because consent is consent.
Sometimes it works.
It is what it is. So we've started the second pandemic. The little hotel shuts down. There's this mysterious guy, much like in California or not in Standoff, that Darcy just happens to bump into while she's staying at this very chic, very private. It's not a B&B. It's not a hotel. It's kind of an inn for people in the 1%. You just want to burn it to the ground.
It's a high-end, almost a resort, but not.
So the maitre d' is just like, look, we're going to have to shut this down and kick everybody out. And we know you guys, so you and this mysterious other guy, and he recommends them to Sybille Carton, who ran an Airbnb for 1% back when the original pandemic was going on. And of course, the maitre d' has her on speed dial. Calls her up.
And I know you're good for the money, so we'll send you right over.
Dials her up, gives her that fucking recommendation, and Darcy and Mystery Man are good to go.
Mm.
Meanwhile, in Italy, we learn that Flavia's family doesn't really care about lockdown rules. Even though during COVID, they lost 3 close family members and a handful of cousins.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Huh.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we're just going to do this.
We're just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
We're just going to complete. Yeah. Who cares?
Fine. All right. We'll just try it again.
Oh, not just cousins. Aunts and uncles, too.
Oh.
So, Charlie, being relatively competent, opposed to his relationship status choices, puts his foot down, refuses to have supper with Umberto and the family, who is Flavia's father, by the way, who's like the matriarch.
Right.
He kind of was just like, well, family doesn't get themselves sick. You know, family's,
yeah,
family's
sure. No,
completely immune to getting people sick.
Yeah.
That's how that works. We'll see how that turns out. Yeah, okay,
definitely.
Buddy.
Yeah.
So we're back in the Carton house. Darcy is starting to feel like a whole new woman. She's meeting this mysterious man, Bill. She's learning how to cook from Sibylle, who we learn is a former famous actress from like the 40s and 50s.
Oh.
Like she's won fucking Oscars and, you know, European Screen Actors Guild Awards. I don't know what the equivalent is because I'm that ignorant.
They call it something like that.
Okay, yeah.
You're not inaccurate.
You know, Darcy is also rocking her blog with medical updates being like, look, social distance, stay at home.
Right.
You know, vaccinate. If you can work remote, work remote. Oh my God. It's so obvious.
It's so good.
All right.
This whole book, it was very pandering towards that, which I don't disagree with being vaccinated, but like it was very pandery.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I'm glad that most people finally learned about the facts. It's like, it's just a basic vaccination. And I think that's what she was trying to say too.
Sure.
It's like you really.
There was just a lot. There was a lot about
it. You didn't have to listen to all the hubbub. You just have to listen to the people that have MD on the back of the fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or mothers on Tumblr and Instagram.
Right.
And with that, for a second, we'll be right back. Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day. And we're back.
Hey, everyone. So, continuing where we left off, the second pandemic that she's making us live through is raging and killing anyone and everyone.
Oh.
And targeting the lungs and the heart.
Oh.
Right.
Hearts
there's,
and minds.
You know,
hearts and minds.
Because our first pandemic was mainly heart or mainly lungs.
Right. Right.
And now the new pandemic is
too.
It's me.
Well, it evolved. So it needs to.
Right.
It needs to hit harder.
If you remember, in the beginning of the story, Zoe had a lovely boo who was working in the hospital named Jean-Paul.
Yes. He was going to one of the most prestigious med schools in France.
Yeah, he died.
Oh
that poor guy.
Yeah, well, I mean,
probably because he was in the hospital.
He was a medical student rooting through grueling shifts without vaccination or PPE. So, he died.
All right. That does.
Yeah, she does.
R.I.P. Jean-Paul? Jean-Marc?
Dude, it's just like.
Jean something.
Dead. And she cried.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure she did.
Jesus wept.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus wept.
Now we're bringing the Irish into it.
Right. And then because of Umberto's shitty social distancing practices.
Now Umberto is shitty?
Guess who
He's
dies?
He's just a baby.
No. Umberto OG.
Oh.
Who's
OG
just like,
Umberto.
Yo. Family doesn't get family sick and you should come over for dinner. Yeah.
Okay.
He dies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, are we surprised?
No.
No. No, we're not surprised.
I mean, wasn't Italy like pretty much ground zero for like a lot of the first pandemic?
And, you know, I'll give
I mean,
Daniel,
not ground zero, but they did have a lot of loss.
Yeah, I will give Daniel Seal that. She definitely
Danielle,
does not pull
keep,
punches on the fact
that.
That Italy was.
She is firing shots.
Yeah.
She's firing shots left and right.
Very much grenade launcher shots. And she's
big time.
Him.
Not that they don't deserve it, but.
So Charlie also catches
now we lost
the
Italian audience. They're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so gone. I love you guys. So Charlie also catches the virus. We're not sure how because he did all of the things that he was supposed to do.
He got vaccinated 27 times.
Almost dies, but doesn't.
Oh
lucky him.
That's so bad.
Okay.
Money buys you anything.
Though his stores, not so much, guys. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Did he listen to his daughter and did he go into the internet sales?
He did not go into the internet sales. No. Ooh. Oh, no. He's going to do that.
He got beat out by Amazon.
Yeah,
Jeff Bezos strikes again.
He's going to do the classic 1%er thing where he's going to file for bankruptcy and then try to rebuild his brand.
Right.
based on somebody else's idea.
Right. Must be nice.
But luckily, Flavia's brother Roberto was getting all about that.
Mm-hmm. That so she's got a brother named Roberto, and she named her son Umberto,
who's now the matriarch of the family.
Flavia's the matriarch after her father.
Roberto is the
patriarch.
Did I say what I said? Matriarch.
It's fine. Well, it's okay. It's all right.
It happens.
Blame. Smut juice.
It's also Italy. Smut so who juice. Knows what's going on?
Smut juice. So Flavia has her baby.
We'll record a theme song.
Goes off without a hitch, and.
Be nice.
Yeah, homeboy is good. Old Chuck is going to be doing this whole side venture with Umberto, and everybody's happy and healthy and still fucking rich.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So.
And he pays out his wife about half of his fortune in a couple mansions. Fumble.
Kind of.
A little bit.
Bill and Darcy kind of part on this like weird, awkward term.
Charlie and Darcy.
No. Bill and Darcy.
Okay, I was talking about the divorce between Charlie and Darcy.
The pandemic is over at this point. This second pandemic, which lasted 3 fucking months, which is what the first pandemic was supposed to last.
Yeah.
Supposed to.
And this is Daniel Steele pretty much spanking us proverbially. Right. Being like, this is how things were supposed to go.
Should have done.
You shouldn't have been adopting pets. You should have been, you know, falling in love with the people that you were supposed to fall in love with.
Stay home.
Regardless of your family structure. Anyway.
Yeah. If you have $1 billion and you can just fuck off to Rome and then, boom, stay in a luxury resort for a while.
Yeah,
and
pretty isn't much, that man. Nice pretty for much. You? That's how it seemed to me. Darcy and Charlie. So Darcy and Bill are like, maybe we'll see each other again.
Okay.
Yes. Pandemic's over.
Right.
Bill's going to go do his thing. Darcy's going to go do her thing.
Head back to the States and run her Instagram account.
Rock the blog,
she's still
technically
blog.
Married. So Darcy and Charlie do the divorce thing, and of course she makes this the most amicable divorce in history, where Charlie's like, "Here's more than half of me, and it's all for you." Like here's
well, I mean the way
here's lots nice. Of property,
Damn.
Here's lots of money, but in retrospect. He was the philandering philanderer, so...
Yeah. So she got the Hampton estate. She got the New York mansion.
Yes.
And half the cash.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yes. Oh, damn.
Yes.
But if you look at it, he got the kids. Well, they're following daddy's career, are they not?
So Penny up to this point, we have learned, is this, like, super bleeding heart.
Yeah.
Like she's gonna set people for who they are.
Yeah.
So she's right there for all of it through the divorce and the birth of the new kid, who's her new half brother?
Umberto.
Can we call him a half brother?
He is a half brother.
We'll call him Berto because he's only half of Umberto.
We're gonna call him half Berto.
Zoe, on the other hand, is just like, you know, burn the bridges, piss on the ashes, fuck y'all, until she puts on those hindsight glasses and she's like, Well,
my parents have all the money and the connections that I need to survive.
And maybe I should make friends with you and your fucking shitty wife.
Maybe I can't do my own thing all the time.
And that's a 7-minute older sister, right?
Yeah.
Younger.
Yeah,
okay. Zoe's the younger one.
And they do. They do. You know, Penny's
older by 7 minutes.
Penny's older by 7 minutes.
And she's
the Zoe's the younger feisty one because she's younger by 7 minutes. Okay. And, you know, she pretty much writes off old Chuck and Flavia until she needs connections
in the fashion world, which is what she wants to
do. Recharge her fucking Starbucks card.
Yeah, naturally.
And then, you know, she manages to sit down and have my favorite meal when you go out for a date, which is lunch.
Lunch.
With Chuck.
Gonna have lunch with Chuck.
I'm gonna keep calling him Chuck at this point because,
Old Chuck.
So what we get to experience after that shit show of pseudo reclaiming.
The dividing of goods.
Yeah. Goods and the girls being like, I can stand you for the person that you kind of are.
Yeah, the reconciling of affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Restructure. Family restructure.
So all that happens and our good dear Darcy is back in New York doing her blog thing, you know,
which
accepting,
anyway.
Accepting all the money. And who should show up knocking on our door?
It's old Bill.
It's Bill. It's Bill. He's like, you know what?
It's me, Bill.
It's me. It's me, CIA Bill.
From Italy. You remember me? You remember the time?
But France. But hey, you know, France. Country's a country.
Italy, what's the difference? I'm here.
I'm gonna take that advice, and I'm not gonna pass up on this romance that we have, and I'm gonna resurrect.
He can't take it seriously. That's why this book is called Resurrection.
That's how the goddamn book ends. Is that everybody's still a Nepo baby, and Darcy gets to bang a former CIA bro,
a retired CIA
that
agent
essentially
named Bill.
Sets up a Proud Boy security agency.
Oh, yeah, some kind of private security business.
Oh, jeez.
And they get to humping, and hopefully it's good because she wasn't getting it before.
We don't know. That segues to our next very disappointed, flaccid segue of
Phoebe does not read the steamy.
Phoebe did not read the steamy.
Phoebe,
guys.
Why did you not read the steamy?
There was no steamy in this Phoebe. Book, and no. I am so disappointed. But I'm going to give you some womanly point of views.
Loving it. Go for it.
I have not read the book. I have only heard what both Matthew
it's
and pseudo David
Matt style.
Told me.
Okay.
You're lucky that you didn't read
the book. Yeah, you really
listen, don't. I am experiencing this as our listeners are experiencing this. And I have some words to say.
I'm sure that there are some empowered folks out there.
Yes.
I would hope.
So, what?
Empowered.
Liquid courage.
And liquid courage.
And drunked.
Cheers,
off of the
guys.
Box wines. Cheers.
So
go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I have been married. I hate to say this, but I have been married 3 times now.
Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm. I am not doing
it
again.
6'5", so.
Right. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah. It's the height that
you
matters.
You can't climb a taller ladder.
Nope.
Unless you're starting to date the NBA and then, you know, dude, their track record sucks.
Right.
That's not good. That's not
so
good.
I've learned some things in my life. And my most important advice, so it's going to be like advice time with Phoebe or something. I don't know. We can make something rhyme with Phoebe and
Phoebe's
advice.
Steamy advice.
Yeah. Phoebe's steamy advice.
Phoebe's advice is steamy.
We've got the romance corner with Phoebe. I don't know, or the lack of in this book.
Listen.
I just like the fact that Phoebe and Steamy rhyme.
I love that.
That's why I went with it.
I also really love anything like PH sounding, or like the F sound, like featuring Phoebe should be PH.
I dig it.
F.
I dig it. Yeah.
But it's okay. It's all right. We digress. My advice is be happy with yourself and your love life. Romance is important. Clearly, Darcy was doing well on her own, but she didn't have that romance, right?
She wasn't complete.
She wasn't getting humped on a regular basis.
It's important.
But she didn't. It's the fact that there was nobody there that she wanted to hump her. And I think that's what Phoebe's getting to. It's like
you need
to feel complete in your steamy.
She wanted good old Chuck.
She
made an effort. She went all the way to Rome.
She
flew to Rome.
But Chuck.
Yeah, and
then found out that Chuck was living a different,
he was,
another
he was
life.
Humping Flavia.
That's not okay.
No.
And you know what?
That's never okay.
It's not okay.
Bad time.
It really is. So she did the right thing. Her daughters, I could see the conflict, like the confliction in their minds, like, oh, I want a dad's got prospect for me in my
Zoe
future.
Zoe's ready to just like cut off all
right.
tie.
I don't disagree
until she realized
with
that checkbook might close.
I mean, I have 2 girls. One took that path, one did not, and I don't blame either one, and I'm not going to ever.
You have the actual insight.
I do.
You really
do. I do. I feel
that.
A little attached to this story in a weird way. And
oh,
that's okay.
It's terrible.
I know. I know. It was really awful. Anyway.
I mean, I've been through a divorce, too. I mean, well, my parents' divorce. And
yeah, I've been through
that. That was rough. And my dad was a fucking divorce. Dick. So
right.
Bye.
So, yeah. So, like, you guys are children of divorce. I was lucky enough where my parents are still together. I think it's almost 50 years. They were, can't remember, 75.
Right on.
I'm not sure. They've been together for a very long time, and I love that. They still love each other to death, and I love that. However, I, like I said, have been through two divorces. I am happily married now, and I did threaten my husband's
She threatened to poison me.
I did.
Was it really serious?
It would be nightshade or hemlock.
Tasted before it actually took effect.
Yeah. Well, see, I've been dosing myself.
Hemlock. I take that back.
I've been trying to slowly dose myself with it so I can build up a tolerance just to prepare. And then by the time I start getting sick, I'll know.
It's
Yeah, she says she's not getting divorced again. She's going to kill me
I'm not. It's okay.
She's not kidding. She's going to murder.
So the rest of your advice?
My advice is be happy.
And poison your husband if he wrongs you.
And if you're not happy, I can't.
Murder is never the answer.
No, no, no. No, you should not. But what I'm saying is that...
You should not murder anyone, ever.
You shouldn't have to live a life of unhappiness.
No. You shouldn't have to live a...
And I can't blame... Honestly, I can't blame Chuck or Darcy in this scenario. I can't condone Chuck. Okay, I'm not saying that. He should have tried to fix his marriage. He literally did nothing.
He should have broken up with her before banging some
yeah.
And in the story,
Italian models.
He definitely says that multiple times.
Okay, all right.
He really does. Yeah, I should have said something.
And please, dear God, do.
If you are unhappy in your relationship,
just say it.
Peace out.
Right.
Peace out. There's right. no shame in peacing out. No one's going to hold it against you.
Not if you do it the right way.
No.
Especially that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to judge you if you're like, hey, this isn't the person. Or if the person that is doing the peacing out isn't, you know, this is not who I wanted to be with.
Right.
No,
right.
Just break up with your person before you find your next person. Yeah. That's the problem.
Don't make it an FX special, guys.
Right.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
No, it's not a Hallmark story.
This turned into relationship advice
real quick.
And
that's what this is about. So my point is romance is so important. And literally what my whole point of this little spiel is that this is why these books exist. It's because women tend to feel like they don't have enough romance in their life, so they need these books. And it almost, and not just women, men read them too. And that's great. I love that.
We need perspective.
Yes. And it does. It gives men that womanly perspective. But like women need that in their life. And then these books just kind of give out that like, oh, it like rekindles that romance in their brain. It like it's like a serotonin like dump.
Oh, I love this part of
this book.
Didn't read this.
Familiar.
Yeah.
It seems like it's the opposite of a romance novel, though.
But I think
I get
it
what
gives
you're saying.
A real perspective. I haven't read the book again.
It gives a perspective into real life.
Because
sure.
you have to actually read the book to say whether or not it's a romance. Absolutely. So what Darcy was feeling with Bill in the scenes that you guys didn't read.
Yeah.
And what Flavia and old Chuck were experiencing, as wrong as it was, because it was, you know, until you admitted to your partner that you were actually a part of, that you were doing this, it was wrong.
Right.
It was wrong. There's no other word for it.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
It is.
Wrong.
Was it romantic and passionate? Sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And that's acknowledged it immediately.
Yes. So I do appreciate that, at least. I'm glad to hear that takes place in the book. So that makes me feel a little
better. It's acknowledged when I actually act upon.
Right. but again, like, so that's what I think I appreciate about like romance novels and like even doing this podcast is like, this is what women crave. And even if they don't get it necessarily in their life, they read these and then it just kind of gives them a little jolt of life.
Sure.
In their own personal life, and then they feel a little rejuvenized in their own relationship. So my bottom line is, if you're not happy with the romance in your life, please read some more smut books.
Yo, don't you read some fucking smut novels.
Just not this one. Do not read
a simple Google search will get you to where you need to go.
Those are my ADD disjointed thoughts on romance.
Any other one? Not this one.
But
I can't say any other one because I haven't read all of them.
But we're going to...
I haven't read any of them. I read part of this one, and it's terrible. I read the first chapter, and I was like, do I have to finish this chapter, or can we just be done?
And I just kept reminding him that I read 297 pages more than you.
And I feel sorry about that.
Champ.
And with that, we are done with this episode of Paperback Bromance. I have been Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, not reading the steamy this time.
This episode of Paperback Bromance is written by David Joseph, produced and edited by Matt Mulry. Artwork is done by Phoebe. Social media, again, falls on Matt. Our novel for this episode was Resurrection by the infamous Daniel Steele, copyright 2004. Our theme music is Devil in the Bottle by Iconics, found on the Free Music Archive. Leave us a review, share, like, listen, give us an awesome star. We know it's not a 5-star. We'll settle for an awesome star, and we will see you next time.